Hey y'all, what's up? This is Astro Dim here. Sitting in my bed or whatever, because it's my bed in astrology, duh. So I'm thinking about focusing specifically on Neptune. Neptune's super cool. I like focusing on Neptune. I enjoy it. I think it's cool. And I think like later this month I'll do Pluto, maybe Uranus, but I kind of want to make a special about Pluto in a specific situation that's affecting us to this day and has been affecting us for like about like 30 odd years 30 40 years. And I would love to talk about the significance of that situation and how it's connected to Pluto. But today, I want to talk about Neptune, okay? And I think it'll be a cool thing to focus on. Neptune, people are very confused about Neptune and just anything connected to Neptune, such as the 12th house and Pisces in general. And I know there's a lot of old school people who feel like they don't, those three don't connect, but they absolutely do. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm super accurate in my readings and I make that connection and it's always connected and people always get it. So I'm not just saying like, oh, I'm saying it because it works for me, but I'm just, from my perspective, those three have a connection and it's very important to connect to your life. You know what I mean? So it's something that should not be ignored. However though, that's the thing that I think we should focus on. It's very, Neptune is not really clear to people. You know what I'm saying? So, what I think I'm going to do, I think I'm going to, let me think about this, y'all. You know what? I think I'll go through all Neptune and all the signs. Why not, right? It's a learning lesson for all of us. And I think I'll go through all the houses in one segment, too. And, of course, talk about what Neptune is so you guys know what the hell I'm talking about when I make the references, right? All right. So, let me actually talk about Neptune now in the introduction. Spice things up a little bit. Nah, same. I know I usually have its own segment of what Neptune is, but I think I'm going to talk about it in the introduction. Why not, right? All right, so Neptune is the second furthest away when it comes to the planets. I keep hearing stories about Pluto's a planet now again, like blah blah blah. So I'm not sure what's going on in the astronomy world, but in astrology, Neptune is the second furthest away. I'm drinking my cup of tea, motherfuckers. Okay. I'm trying to chill. I'm trying to relax. Speaking of drinking kava, I have some special guests coming this month too. Either this month or next month. I'm still trying to bring it together, but it's fam. It's my fam. I love these people to death and I can't wait to get things started with them again. For real. I love these people to death. Anywho, Neptune is a gaseous planet, and so it's like literally made up full of gas, but you can't just most likely just skive through it because the thing is the gas gets denser and denser as you go towards the core. So it's actually something that is gaseous but feels so dense that it feels solid, so we can probably technically walk on it if we wouldn't die. Okay, so it's definitely landable, if you get what I'm saying. Beautiful ass planet too, beautiful blue. And what Neptune is connected to is delusions, illusions, spirituality, intuition, and self-undoing, self-sabotaging ways, you know, deeply connected to the 12th, you know what I mean? That's what the 12th is about. But Neptune really reaches them, it's very nebulous, it's very mystical, and it is connected to the unknown. And that's why it's connected to delusions, because a lot of things that we're not aware of or is the unknown, we create illusions in our head to make up for it, but we don't even know what it is. And that's why spirituality is connected to it, because You know, we're making guesses on what spirituality is and how we connect to it. We don't know exactly what it is, and we're going off of intuition. It's not a solidified thing. It's not something we can hammer down and connect. And it's not tangible. And so that's why when it comes to spirituality, everyone has a different perspective of it. And that's the beauty of the unknown. That's the beauty of the universe. That's the beauty of the universal unconsciousness, is that, you know, everyone's truth is different. And it's kind of like, what is reality? What is truth? You get what I'm saying? So it's very nebulous. It's very here, there, nowhere. You know, it's connected to Pisces. And that's a mutable sign. Here, there, nowhere. Oh, there again. And it's connected to our emotions. And emotions is water, right? And with emotions, again, like, what intuition is just you emotionally connecting to an energy. Spiritual, whatever, you know what I mean? And you kind of getting it through your emotions. And so, for instance, you're walking down the street, you feel really weird about turning right, you feel it, and you're like, all right, forget it, I'm gonna turn left instead. You get what I'm saying? That's intuition. That's an energy telling you, nah, bitch, don't go over there. You get what I'm saying? And so intuition, all it is ever-changing emotions, giving you clues and warnings to how to move about life. You get what I'm saying? And so when you think about that, you don't know where you're getting it from. It's a little bit confusing. Some people kind of can tune where they're getting it from and what's up, but there's no defined tangible evidence of what that is. And that's why it's the unknown. We have to really use our intuitions to get it. And that's why during the Neptune retrograde season, I was telling you guys, you know, things are not as clear. Things are confusing during Neptune retrograde. The reason for that is because what we need to do is we need to practice our intuition and really use it, and don't use, like, take it for granted and sharpen it so we can be better at connecting with our ancestors. And guys, we are not going to grow as a collective until we do so. Okay. And I see people trying, I see more people putting effort, but until as a collective we're at least trying a little bit, we are not going to move forward. We are not moving to the fourth dimension. I don't care what anyone says. You're not 4D. You're not 5D. You're not. Okay. If we're not, you're not. And that's how it is. I feel that strongly. If it's a collective thing moving to a different dimension. Okay. If one person is not 3D, or I mean, it's not 4D or 5D, then we're not. Okay. This is something that we have to work together, and it's hard and it sucks, but that's just how it is. Okay. Please understand that. So don't, I when I hear people say I'm 5D, I'm 4D, I'm like, all right, sure, honey. If you think so, you can reach there, but you're not going to stay there, because we're 3D beings. We're living in an earthly experience. We're stuck here because we have to learn. It's spirits that are 5D. It's probably aliens that are 5D and 4D. We're not. Collectively, we're not. Okay? And I feel that strongly. Anywho, this is all Neptune talk, all right? But when Neptune is definitely connected to our self-undoings. And the reason why it's connected to the self-undoings and the unknown is because we don't know what we do to sabotage ourselves. If we did, we would stop. You get what I'm saying? And so usually what I tell people when I give them meetings, you have to connect with your ancestors, God, your guides, angels, so they can use your intuition, so they can connect to you through your intuition to let you know, what are your sabotaging ways? What is your self undoing? How are you institutionalized yourself? How can you break yourself free? How can you grow and ascend spiritually? Okay, and that's what Neptune's here to show you. Neptune is here to show you your God-given gift and how you're not using it, and how you're whack because you're not using it well. You know what I mean? That's what Neptune, the 12th house in Pisces, is telling you. Honestly, what's your God-given gift, and what, like, and how are you, like, sabotaging yourself? How are you deluded and not realizing how special you are, how gifted you are, and how you're just letting it go and institutionalize yourself via status quo. You know, Pisces is nothing but nothing about status quo. Like, they're just not about that life, okay? The status quo life. And so, you know, it's really, really important for us to kind of really connect with spirit. It's important that we have to be spiritual beings. I understand there are people who are atheists, who just don't know. And I get it. Like, because at the end of the day, none of us know. But you need to connect somehow. You need to use your intuition somehow. And your intuition will tell you clearly, you know, if you really practice it and pay attention, what you're doing, what you're self-undoing, and how you're stopping yourself from succeeding in a spiritual way and in the physical, in the earthly realm. So it's something that you really need to focus on. Neptune is very nebulous. It's very confusing. But the thing is, it's teaching you a lesson through that. It's letting you know that there is no absolute truth. What is reality? Reality to us is reality different in Mars. Like, reality is not the same reality in Mars. And Mars is not that far from us. You get what I'm saying? Not even the reality in freaking New York. It's not the same as the reality in Beijing. You know what I mean? There's even different realities within the world. So what makes you think it's going to be the same reality? Like, that's what certain scientists annoy me with. And I say certain because not all of them do this. But they think that, like, you know, there can't be no other beings because they don't live like us. Like, what makes you think that these other beings have the same needs and same reality as us? Like, come on, man. I just... Neptune makes me go into these crazy conversations and make me be sporadic. I have Neptune in my chart. Heavy, my north node's in Neptune. And so this is my lesson, learning this shit, okay? And that's number one. And then also, a lot of my first house has Neptune in it, even though I'm Aquarius rising. My Juno's Neptune, so bae is going to be spiritually connected like me. And my sun is, I'm a 12th house sun conjunct Neptune. So I'm very Neptune-y, very nebulous. I get y'all, Pisces. I get it. You know what I mean? So yeah, Neptune actually shows us too where we are quote unquote lazy. The reason why I say quote unquote lazy is because it's not that we're lazy. It's not that, you know, it's not that you're lazy. It's that you are taking in so much energy and you're being so empathic in this certain part of your life. It's literally draining you if you don't practice this perfectly, or if you don't like work on this, and you it's causing you to seem lazy when you're just truly exhausted. But again, Neptune also shows you your talents, like I mentioned before. So you know, it's kind of like gives me a vibe of like a grand trine, right? Where you're like, things come so easy for you. You're so talented and good at this particular thing, depending on what element this grand trine is in. And you don't realize how easy it is for you, and you take it for granted. You get what I'm saying? It kind of gives me that vibe. But the thing is, though, is that it's not going to be so easy for you, because Neptune will fuck around with you. You know what I mean? It's not like Saturn, where Saturn's trying to give you that reality. It's the complete opposite. Neptune will fuck around with you and let yourself get played. Saturn gets the most shit. But Saturn's literally stopping you from being played. That's why it gives you the quote-unquote restrictions. You're technically restricting yourself. But that's why Saturn, like, holds you back, because it's trying to stop you from getting played. Neptune will let yourself get played and laugh at you at the end of the day. Okay, and be like, yeah, learn from that bitch. Seriously. So stop giving Saturn some, like, all that flack. Neptune is the trickster here. It's the magician, not the magician card. The magician card's known as the trickster. That's more of like Mercury trickster. Neptune is like the hangman a little bit, where you're upside down, then your view of things is totally different, and you don't even know what the fuck's going on. And it's not that the hanged man is the trickster. It's just the person that put them upside down is the trickster, and now the hanged man's view of things is totally deluded. And that's why they're just chilling upside down. I'm like, well, just gotta let this pass. But sometimes you gotta do with Neptune transits. That just chill and just let the shit pass and just go total fish. You know what I mean? But anyways, I feel like I've said enough. That's my description of Neptune. I hope this was really helpful, because a lot of people don't really understand it in depth. And as a person that has all this Pisces energy and then my sun conjuncts Neptune, I feel like I can speak well to it. You get what I'm saying? So with that being said, let's go to the next segment, in which I talk about Neptune in each sign. You know what I'm gonna do? I think, because Neptune takes a while to move from signs. I don't know if I should do all the signs. Should I? Let me think on that. And I'll holler at y'all later. I'll probably like start though. No, you know what? I'll do it. You know what? I'll do it. I'm gonna talk about all the signs. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do that. No, actually, no. See, I keep... I'm sorry, y'all. I know you're so annoyed. Yeah, let me think about that. But I'm gonna start basically at a later sign, not like an Aries like I usually do. I'm gonna start at a later sign. So if I like, if it's going too long, then I'm gonna be like, nah, I'm gonna cut it off here. But I wanna make sure that I talk about the Neptunes of people who are like alive at this moment, so you can learn from this. You get what I'm saying? And then maybe I'll do a part two and talk about like the other Neptunes, okay? That's what I'm gonna do. That sounds right. All right, y'all. I'll let you know what I'll do later. You'll see. Surprise, bitch. What up? All right, y'all. So let's talk about, I decided to start with Neptune and Leo. I feel like I might go through all of them. Maybe. Okay, so like I mentioned before with Neptune, you know, Neptune is that God-given talent that you guys have. That you are kind of deluded about. Maybe you think you're too good at it. Maybe you, most likely, you think you're not as good, and you're literally stopping yourself from success, from ascension, because your delusions of the situation. You're sabotaging yourself this way. It also mentions your self undoing and the actual disillusions that you have. And it talks about as well as how you're like stopping yourself from not succeeding, how you're institutionalizing yourself. And then what I like to do is, you know, for each sign, talk about those things as well as like, how do you allow yourself to succeed for ascension, for soul ascension. You get what I'm saying? She's giving y'all clues on how you can go about things. And then I want to give you some historical examples of how this has affected the people at that time. The thing is that's interesting about generational energies, such as Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, is that even though that time passes, like say, you know, I was born Neptune Capricorn, is Neptune Pisces now, I still have the energy of the time of Neptune Capricorn. I am what I'm born of. You get what I'm saying? And so I'm carrying this Neptune Capricorn energy while it's Neptune Pisces. And so I'm the remnants of that time. You're going to be always reminded of Neptune Capricorn as I'm living, as all of the Neptune Capricorn people are living, okay? And so it's important to mention some of the historical things that are happening, because we can kind of personify these things and kind of understand how a generation's thinking. You get what I'm saying? And so let's talk about Neptune and Leo, okay? So Neptune and Leo began around July 19th, 1915. Ended September 21st, 1928, and then came back again for a couple of months from February 19th, 1929, and July 24th, 1929, okay? And then it went back to Virgo again. And so I wanted to kind of talk about, you know, the generation of this energy. And so the natural talent, the God-given talent that Neptune and Leo people have is their creativity, is their natural talents. Like, they can pick up shit and just do. Amazing people. These people are known for being extremely hard workers and just are able to kind of make something out of nothing. You get what I'm saying? Very, very strong, strong energies here. Of, you know, these are the people who gave birth to the baby boomers. The reason why the baby boomers are such industrious people. You get what I'm saying? And this is actually during the Incas, the industrial era as well, I believe so. And so just very hard working, naturally talented energies. But the thing is, well, let me just say this too. You know, these people are very, very creative. They probably loved romance, love. A lot of the movies around this time or the art around this time was devoted to romance, having fun, being jovial, just having a good time. And the funny thing about it is that, like, a lot of things happen to kind of deflect them of this Leo energy. Is literally wild. And within that, they still had more fun within their life. They still enjoyed life, which is pretty cool. And I'll talk about that more when I talk about the historical side of it. But people of the Neptune Leo energies, folks were just naturally talented, creative, self-expressive, beautifully romantic. And people just like that love to have fun and enjoy themselves and be of the moment. You know what I mean? Dope energy, dope generation for sure. You know, a lot of their self-undoing and disillusions is connected to their creativity. They didn't even realize how creative they were. And a lot of situations, it wasn't even them, but a lot of situations kind of blocked them from being as self-expressive as they wanted to, and blocked them from exploring, and then blocked them for, like, you know, expressing their talents to the world, to the universe. A lot of people were blocked there. A lot of these folks grew up in a situation in which they're like, well, I can't just follow my dreams, so I just have to just, you know, follow status quo. You get what I'm saying? Really, really interesting. And so that's actually allowing them not to fully succeed in life, to really connect with God and understand their natural talents and work with God to kind of break themselves out of, in like, you know, industrializing themselves, institutionalizing themselves. You get what I'm saying? From fully being straight self-expressive. And so you know, what these people had to do during this time, and I know a lot of these people have passed, you know, there's a few people that are over 100, but a lot of these people have passed, but what they need to do is connect with God and say, how can I use my natural creativity, my natural talents, to bring myself forward out in the world? What is my creativity? What am I talented in? You know, how can I put myself out there and utilize my creativity and talents to do something big? That's just not a regular 9-to-5, but something exciting, something fun, a hobby of mine that I can really make into a real life situation. You know, a lot of these people were probably born into parents was like, no, you cannot just go ahead and do what you want to do. You have to go and do this. You know what I mean? They were forced to live in this type of way where they couldn't have fun and enjoy themselves and express themselves the way they want to express themselves without being penalized somehow. And so, you know, this generation had to just do it regardless to have a soul ascension. You know what I mean? So ask your guides, like, okay, how am I blocking myself from my creativity, from fully expressing myself, from my talents? And how can I put my talents out there, practice my talents, use my hobbies, enjoy myself, and just fully be my full self-expressive self? You have to ask your guides to help you with that, because you're quite disillusioned about it. You don't think that you're talented enough. You don't think that your hobbies are important enough. You don't think that you deserve to be self-expressive because of these laws put in place. You know what I mean? You don't think that you can be yourself and have fun and date and be romantic and just enjoy life. And it's sad because these people have these natural talents to express themselves in a creative way, and they couldn't. It was really fucked up. And so let's talk about some of the historical situations that happened during this time, right?
So this was really interesting here. There was this thing right before the U.S. entered World War I called the Zimmerman Telegram. It was a secret diplomatic communication issued from the German Foreign Office that proposed a military alliance between Germany and Mexico. And that actually started the whole idea of U.S. Entering World War I in 1917, okay? Around the same time, Woodrow Wilson and Vice President Marshall begin their second term, so they had to really, you know, show out. This is when they started putting out espionage acts and stuff like that. This is when they purchased the U.S. Virgin Islands from Denmark and really, like, pushing forward this agenda of, winning this war and really kind of pushing away anarchy, pushing away communism, I can't even think of the actual phrase, being a socialist and stuff like that. And around like 1917, 1920, the first Red Scare happened, where like literally what was happening at this time is that like people were like scared of like Russians and the Russian Revolution and being an anarchist, and so they really started to like put out this propaganda to scare people from anarchy and scare people from revolutionizing and kind of putting themselves out there for full freedom. You get what I'm saying? Try to push away communism, push away that type of energy, and they, you know, they use propaganda to scare the people from stopping to do that. And so that's kind of a way of how you know the government is trying to stop you from fully expressing yourself. You know, it's supposed to be the land of the free. Why can't you express, you know, your want of anarchy? If you know what I mean, even though how crazy it sounds crazy because we've been programmed to think it sounds crazy. You get what I'm saying? You can't be fully self-expressive because, you know, you've been pushed to not be self-expressive. You get what I'm saying? And then the Red Scare got even worse as the years went by. But this is like around the first Red Scares for sure. Which is something definitely worth mentioning. Okay? Let me think what else happened here. There was a mini depression around 1920, 1921. And during this time, it wasn't the Great Depression, no, but this depression was quite serious, people were kind of forced to live a certain way and not be as like have fun and enjoy themselves and really be about like, you know, expressing themselves the way they want to. And so it was really just, you know, unfortunate for sure. But cool things did start up where people were breaking out and realizing their their talents, their creativity, and trying to self-express themselves. One example is the first radio broadcast. It was in Pittsburgh and Detroit around 1920, which was around the same time of the economic depression, excuse me. What else happens? I believe that they started to have like TV broadcasting as well. I think NBC was founded. It was the US's first major broadcast network in 1926. You know, the people just started to utilize television and radio and expressing themselves there, but there was still this kind of like strictness to it in which you couldn't just fully express yourself, but you can express yourself under the thumb of the US government and under the thumb of like other, you know, powers that be. You get what I'm saying? One of the terriblest things happened. J. Edgar Hoover was appointed director of the Bureau of Investigation, which is like the old school FBI. And this guy caused terror, and he was like shitty as fuck. He wasn't a good guy, okay? And he actually
started prohibition. And that's again another way of stopping you from enjoying yourself, expressing yourself, having fun, drinking and being merry, just like having a good time, you know, like, sorry about that. That was during like 1919. He wasn't the FBI director yet at that time, but his, like, what he was doing during like prohibition time, because I believe at that time he was I actually have it wrong. He was the director of like the prohibition like sector of the government, and then when prohibition was released, he ended up being really tough on weed and drugs, and so he kind of started that whole thing too. But then he was appointed to the Bureau of Investigation or whatever in 1924, but regardless, he was just shitty, okay? But like there was like a lot of wins and losses. Like, for instance, Charles Lindbergh makes his first transatlantic flight. Earhart was the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. You know, a lot of changes were made. The first talkie, which is a motion picture with sound, was released. The jazz singer, and this is like, again, the first like motion picture with sound, right? And it's about a Black American art, jazz, you know what I mean? And so a lot of self-expression was being brought out, but at the same time being extremely limited. And because people felt like they had this thumb over them, they were disillusioned on their true power. It seemed like some people got it, some people didn't, some people realized it, some people still was able to find their way. But do you get what I'm saying? Like, this is natural talent. These people were doing so much, and being so, using their talents and their hobbies and being so self-expressive, but couldn't do as much as they probably wanted because of fears. You get what I'm saying? And so it's just really interesting times for sure. Very, very interesting times. So now let's talk about Neptune and Virgo, okay? And so with Neptune and Virgo, their natural talent that they're pretty disillusioned about is having order, understanding patterns, organization, detail to organization, very palace type of vibes, having a routine, planning things out, just having your day-to-day all set, all good, and just knowing how to work with details and being specific and, you know, kind of just working towards perfection. You get what I'm saying? During this time, Neptune and Virgo was between, of course, that short period, September 1928 to Feb 1929. But then after it went back to Leo, then back to Virgo, was 1929 to 1942. Okay. And then a lot happened during this time as well. But anyways, you know, what these people were disillusioned about was their actual, you know, creativity. Their actual organization and attention to detail and working on your day-to-day life and having control over your day-to-day life. Because that's the thing, you can be detailed-oriented, you can have organization, but do you have control over that? Do you have control over your everyday life, or is someone making you do this? Do you get what I'm saying? And so that's kind of like the difference with the Neptune and Virgo energy, okay? And so their self-undoing is connected to order, connected to organization. These people don't realize how much they have their shit together, or how much they can have their shit together. You get what I'm saying? Wherever is Neptune's connected to, like, you have it, but you don't realize how you have it or how much of it you got. Do you get what I'm saying? And so you often kid yourself. You often kind of give up and just
a mess just ensues because of this. And so it's kind of like, really, it's kind of like, especially when I think about this era too, it's like trying to bring in order and organization within your life after like complete chaos. But complete chaos is going to happen. Now this era was between, again, like I said, 1930 to 1942. Okay, let me say it again. Let me say it again. 1929, or let me correct myself, 1929 to 1942. Okay, you know, around this time was the World War II. Do you get what I'm saying? And so this is like the perfect example of having order and then shit just falling terribly. You know, after World War I, Germany really was like suffering because a lot of the battles were in Germany, and so the whole country was in shit. Like, it was just terrible, and so a lot of people were suffering. And then you know, Hitler came along, was promising order, was promising you know, them people to have their shit together again, was promising a better life, and people were like, yes, we want it, and was kind of using it like with hate, like, you know, these people left us out hanging, we have to pick up the pieces, we have to build it up. And kind of was using hate via nationalism, you get what I'm saying, to push his agenda and get things going. But you kind of get the idea of like this big ass mess coming through and people having to figure it out. Now, World War II happened around between like 1939 to 1945, and so it ended a little bit after Leo and Virgo, but you know, it was still during this time where people were trying to kind of bring shit together, work things out, like bring some type of order, you know what I mean? And it was a little bit difficult because like we're here fighting a war, trying to get our lives together at the same time. Like, it was just a big ass mess. But anyways, like I was saying though, like, you know, a lot of these people didn't realize how much like organization and attention to detail, and you know, people just didn't realize how much they had their shit together, and so they kind of just let shit fall, you know what I mean? And so again, like with Germany, shit just fell. They had to pick themselves back up. And the part of them picking themselves back up and Hitler being in ruling, like, you know, yes, that time was horrible. Absolutely, in Germany, you know, a lot of people died and it was awful. But that country had their shit together in the sense of things were just very organized, detailed, and it was off of bad situations. It was off of, like, the death of people and the struggle of people. But overall, like, the organization of Germany and how Germany was literally taking over whole ass countries not so long ago, that you know like literally invading and shit, you know, that's wild as hell. Like, it just goes to show you how, like, they picked themselves up and like realized their self-undoing of allowing this mess to happen and pick themselves back up, but they did it under a bad name. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be surprised if they realized their self-undoing but didn't really connect with God like they were supposed to. They was connecting with their own greed. Not even greed, maybe. Their own greed or their own, like their own anger more than anything. You know what I mean? And so it's really, really interesting energies at this time for sure. But a lot of it was like us having a big ass mess, ignoring it, the big ass mess happening, and us trying to fucking repair it. You get what I'm saying? Us really trying to get it back together. Again,
The Great Depression started between 1929, ended in 1939. So it was literally 10 years of fuckery. Stock market crashed. We were a big mess. People were poor as fuck. People were trying to get shit together. People were trying to work while they're, you know, while people were fighting this war. There was literally so many men out to war, World War II, that women had to work, which was a big ass deal during this time. One of the big things that was like trying to bring us back to order was the Glass-Steagall Act, you know, which was trying to bring some order and some regulation to these banks. So shit like the Great Depression, shit like that, our economic fuck up of 2008, you know, like shit like that won't happen again. And the reason why it happened back in 2008, because Bill Clinton repealed it before he left office. And interesting night. But like what FDR was trying to do was like, listen, we cannot have the Great Depression happen again. I'm going to like push this forward. And so again, it's kind of showing you how people were trying to bring things together. Other things like the Federal Housing Administration was started so people can start, you know, focusing on just us getting more housing. But beyond that, like kind of having set standards for construction, underwriting, ensuring loans, connecting with banks and making sure this is like done fairly and things like that. And so again, like we had this big ass mess of World War II, this big ass mess of the Great Depression, and us using our Virgo skills to trying to bring us out of that. And so like during this whole era, you know, we were learning our self-undoings and fixing it. You know what I mean? How earth sign of us, you know, how Virgo of these people, of this generation. And so this generation is bringing this energy outward into, you know, till after this generation is done, they're still bringing that energy to the future Neptune generations. You get what I'm saying? But what's happening here is that like, okay, we're realizing what we're doing wrong. And what we're going to do now is start to, you know, fix this, make sure our life's better. But people that were in Neptune Virgo, though, they were disillusioned about their natural talents when it comes to organization, routine, and detail. And so, you know, what I would suggest for people born during this time, if they're really trying to work these things out, is honestly connect with God, ask them, how am I sabotaging myself when it comes to my routine, my everyday task, my everyday duties, organization, my work life, my school life? Like, what am I doing to sabotage myself to not succeed, to not be of the earth and to experience earth fully, to not really gain from this earthly 3D experience? You get what I'm saying? That's what I would definitely suggest these people to do. You know what I mean? How to become, again, more of the earthly realm. Like nothing, you know, I feel like earth signs are like extremely, we get 3D. You know what I mean? To a fault even. Like we get 3D. And so how can I be more 3D? How can I like work on the day-to-day shit, organize things, make sure things are right, to make order out of chaos. You know what I mean? And that's what this energy was all about, making order out of complete and utter chaos. Okay. And so yeah, that's how I'm seeing this here. Okay. Now next, let's talk about Neptune in Libra. So with Neptune in Libra, at first it was, it started October 3rd, 1942, then ended April 17, 1943, and it went back to Virgo for a couple of months, but then it started again between August 2nd, 1943 to December 24th, 1955. Okay, and so what are these people's natural talents? Relating with people, connecting with people, bonding with people, building long-standing relationships. You know what I mean? And this is what they were disillusioned about too. These people didn't realize that they could create relationships, didn't realize that they can build harmonious relationships in which they really bond with the people, connect with the people, and really, like, can be just generally harmonious and compatible and just, like, vibe well. You know what I mean? And this energy definitely is strong, especially towards the first end of, the first part of Neptune and Libra, and I'll get into that later. But, you know, they don't realize, they can't access their sense of relating, of connecting, of being compatible, of being a harmonious relationship. They may, you know, can get to a relationship easy, but they can't sustain one, or vice versa. They know how to sustain a relationship if they could just actually get to one, or maybe they just suck at both. You know what I mean? And it's not even that you suck at both. You're naturally good at relating and connecting with folks when it comes to, like, one-on-one relationships, but you don't realize how talented you are, how good you are. You probably close yourself out a lot and you think that, like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. You worry too much about how you're looking and how, like, compromising with others and you know, really connecting with others, that you don't realize that you're blocking yourself, like, literally. It's so funny with Neptune, like, you literally are blocking yourself by psyching yourself out when you're naturally good at whatever your Neptune is in. You get what I'm saying? It's like the most bizarre thing. Again, disillusions, right? That's definitely the disillusion of the generation of Neptune and Libra, for sure. You know, so you're allowing yourself to succeed by not connecting well with the people that you're relating with, refusing relationships, refusing to kind of bring harmony. You get what I'm saying? And this energy is just so true to the situation, y'all. It really, really is. What I suggest these people to do is honestly, like, ask God again and ask your guys again, how can I relate to people in a better way? What am I doing wrong? You know what I mean? What am I doing wrong when it comes to relating with people? How can I be better at this? How am I not realizing my own talents with this? How am I stopping myself? And then just go ahead and putting yourself out there and doing it. Not being so afraid. Just go ahead and do it. This is for all the signs that I just talked about and the ones I'm going to talk about in the future. You know, you just have to put yourself out there and go ahead and do it. Because that's the thing. You are actually really good at this. You're just tricking yourself, psyching yourself because of experiences that happened to you that you're stuck on. Do you get what I'm saying? And so, let's talk about all the terrible relations that we had, America had as a country. We had the Japanese American internment camps. That was shit. That was absolute shit. There was some race riots happening around this time. True, too. The biggest one was, the Detroit race riots that was happening in 1943. It was so bad that the Congress of Racial Equality was created, that was trying to bring equality for all people regardless of race, creed, sex, all of that. You know what I mean? And during this time, this was like prime time Jim Crow. Like, race relations were terrible. Black people were dying by the droves. It was disgusting. Being mistreated. Race relations were just terrible. And then the World War II was, like, continuing to happen. And so, again, the relations, we're not relating with people. We're just fighting and not realizing that we can bring shit together. We can make things work out. And so, yeah, like, it started in 1942. The World War II didn't end till 1945. You get what I'm saying? Japan surrendered after the Hiroshima bombs or whatever, and Nagasaki. And
But still, that's not a good way to end a war. Like, we're not trying to come together and really just bring shit together. Germany was left in shambles once again, just like World War One. The United Nations were created, but people was like, meh, about it. You know, like, it was just... We tried to relate. We tried to connect. And, you know, the United Nations was, like, a good start. But if people were to take it a little bit more seriously, you know, that, you know, who knows what could happen. You know what I mean? But basically, the United Nations was replaced the League of Nations. It's pretty much the same thing, but obviously that didn't work. You know what I mean? Shit, what else happened? People started to really try to do something with civil rights. It wasn't really successful, but the effort was somewhat there. So there was the President's Committee on Civil Rights, which was a presidential commission established by Harry Truman. He instructed people to investigate the status of civil rights in the country. And that includes the race relations, and mostly, but a lot of it was the issues of other people, disadvantaged people. You get what I'm saying? What else happened? A nice thing that created relationships, Polaroid camera was invented in 1947, so that was nice. Even like our relationships with fucking aliens were fucked up too, because a UFO crash in Roswell, we don't know shit about what happened, how we connected with these people, if these people were all right. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just a mess. Yeah, it was just crazy. Absolutely crazy. But more like relations trying to come together. But it's just work. It's like, I feel like we really failed. I really do. I feel like the Neptune and Libra people, they tried, but it just was just not working out, because it was just too much energies, like too much sullied connections. You know what I mean? But Jackie Robinson kind of 1947, you know, breaks the color barrier, baseball. A lot of people said they were like Latino people who did it before him, but the thing is though is that they identified as white, as they were white. Yes, they are white Latinos, they are black Latinos, they are mixed Latinos, they're indigenous Latinos, you know what I mean? So there's that. So it was Jackie Robinson that broke the color barrier in American baseball. Okay. And so, again, like, there was, people were trying to connect it, but, you know, Jackie Robinson, what he had to fucking go through during that time was just, it was hell. It was hell. He went through absolute hell. NATO was formed, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which was like an intergovernmental military alliance between 29 North American and European countries. So there's some sort of relation trying to come through, but, you know, the Soviet Union tested its first atomic bomb. So obviously shit ain't working out too well. People are still mad. And if you know, you're still, you know, creating and testing atomic bombs, it can't be too well. At this time, like in 1949, this is when Germany divided into East Germany and West Germany. So that's kind of like the Soviet Union-y, the Berlin Wall type of situations, like the social, or Soviet Union Germany and the democratic, quote-unquote democratic Germany. You get what I'm saying? So that shit was happening there. McCarthyism was running wild again, like, as well. I really feel like we didn't, you know, this generation, I think we continued to be disillusioned about our relations. There were so many efforts. People tried so hard. It just wasn't working out. And I would love to look a little bit deeper to see, like, what happened. And, like, astrologically speaking. Because, like, fucking the Korean War started 10-2. So it's like, I don't know. It was just tough. It was the Korean War started. People started fucking with Lucille Ball because she had red hair. She can't help that she has red hair. And like, because the whole the McCarthyism situation, it was just so wild. Like, it was like a wild time, and we did not do well when it comes to relations. We continue to be disillusioned. And again, I would like to see, like, during this generation, what aspects happened, what was like something had to have been squaring or opposite Neptune, like a bigger planet, in order for this to like fuck up the way it did. Because people were trying, what I feel like was happening was people were literally trying to put their foot down when it came to relations, like, I'm important too. It seemed like a kind of Aries in the seventh house type of vibe where people continuously have to assert themselves. Maybe like Saturn and Aries in the seventh house where like people have to continuously try to assert themselves and they keep being pushed down. You get what I'm saying? Wild ass times. The Rosenbergs were executed, which were Russian spies. Fucking what else happened? Rosa Parks, you know, this is like 1955. This machine decided the Montgomery bus boycott, even though people were doing it beforehand. That was a thing. You know, Brown versus Brown of education, where, you know, the state laws establishing separate public schools for black and white students and denying black children equal educational opportunities unconstitutional, which is great. But the thing is, kind of pushing that forward was extremely difficult. My mom was not around this time, but my mom experienced her school being desegregated, and it was a mess. The whole situation was a mess. The CIA overthrows Guatemala's president, Jacobo Arbenz Guzman. It's just, I felt like people were just so harsh, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was like some heavy Aries energy that was like, that made this extremely aggressive. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, it was a wild time. It was a wild time. I mean, the thing to end this time, which was crazy for Neptune and Libra, rock and roll starts to enter the mainstream, and Elvis Presley also began to have a rise of fame around the same time. Mind you, rock and roll Ben was happening. The king of rock and roll was Little Richard and a couple of other black artists, but they didn't get the same amount of love. Race relations getting worse and fucking worse. Okay, so yeah, it was a mess. I would love to look at this generation to see a little bit more on what the fuck happened, but it was not good. But basically what this generation needed to do was understand its self-undoings when it comes to relationships and building relationships and trying to make it happen. But it seems like there was just this consistent kickback that was just fucking things up in such a terrible, terrible way. It was wild. It was really, really wild ass times. And we couldn't relate worth a shit. We tried so hard, but relating, understanding people, being kind of like understanding each other's different perspectives and respecting it and being harmonious with it. I can't say harmony. Harmonious. I can't say it. I don't know why. This whole like Mercury retrograde, I've been fucking this up. And I know it's not Mercury retrograde no more, but it's the shadow period, and that fucks me up even more. So yeah, for some reason I can't say that word, but you know what I'm trying to say. Okay. But yeah, it was crazy times, and I will say this generation was unsuccessful. And it's not the people that were born in this generation, because they couldn't help it. They were born under this time. Their parents and their grandparents fucked this up really bad. And this could explain the, you know, the quote unquote greatest generation. You know what I mean? These people were hard workers, These are the actual baby boomers born around this time. Hard workers, really try to get things going, but they are having such a hard time relating with the other generations. And it's probably because the time that they were born, their parents and grandparents were unsuccessful on building relationships and connecting with people. So how the fuck are you expecting them to do the same thing? Do you get what I'm saying? And that could be why that during the time when they were in their 20s, in the 60s and 70s, you know, it was just so much combat between the people and the government. So many protests, so many killings, so many riots. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's wild times for sure. I'm gonna probably do a podcast going a little bit deeper into Neptune and Libra, because this is just absolutely amazing. Let's swing over to Neptune and Scorpio though. So Neptune and Scorpio was between December 24th, 1955 to March 11, 1956. You know, of course, went retrograde, went back into Libra, but then went back to October 18th, 1956 to June 15, 1957, went back to Neptune and Scorpio, okay? And then it did it again. A lot of back and forth with Neptune and Scorpio. And then it's from August 5th, 1957 to 1970, and then went to Sag, and then went back again in like a couple of months in 1970. So a good time, which is, it's really interesting how it works. So Neptune and Scorpio solid between 1955 and 1970, which is a lot of time. That's kind of wild. Some back and forth, like when it was back into Libra a couple of times, it was like only for a few months, so it's not gonna be that big of a deal. So I can kind of still glance through it. But I think that's really interesting how that back and forth was like strong. You get what I'm saying? But this was like a longer time, because sometimes, you know, it depends on the orbit. It takes a little bit longer for, you know, certain planets to go through certain signs. You get what I'm saying? But basically between 1955 and 1970 was Neptune and Scorpio. Okay. And so, Neptune and Scorpio vibes is, you know, our natural talent, or their natural talent was naturally intimacy. You know what I mean? Which we deeply needed, because relating was so, so bad. And I think it took, you know, us working on emotionally bonding, us emotionally understanding each other, really transforming to blend into two beings, into two souls. Two souls coming into one, excuse me. And like, it's kind of like the yin and yang sign. It's like two things coming into one, and now it's known as one thing. You know what I mean? And this is like multiple layers of intimacy being played out here. There is, of course, romantic and sexual intimacy. There was a huge sexual revolution in the 60s. We know that really poured out into the 70s for sure, and then for the rest of the future, you know, there was a different idea of what relationship and marriage was, and what, you know, what the wife did and what the husband did. People started to break that down a little bit more. You know, it was just like the understanding of intimacy kind of changed around this time. But the thing is, the natural talent that these, you know, these folks had during the time, or that the universal consciousness had during this time, was, you know, bringing two into one, having a sense of shared worth, whether it's emotional, sexual, financial, whatever. You know what I mean? And so it makes sense, because a lot of laws connected to civil rights and us coming together was coming through. Now, was it fully successful? No, because again, when intimacy needs trust, you know, emotional bonding, and a lot of these people didn't feel that they can trust the government. You know what I mean? They've wronged them so many fucking times. You can't blame them. You get what I'm saying? But let's talk about this a little bit more, okay? And so your natural talent is like kind of being more intimate,
having a sense of shared worth, coming together, turning into one. Emotionally bonding and getting each other, bringing dark things to light. Let me say that again. Bringing dark things into light. Natural talent, okay? But this, you know, our part of our self-undoing and disillusion is connected to this too. Even though we're naturally good at this, we don't realize our actual power. Do you get what I'm saying? We don't realize what we can do in this world, how we can change this world to our benefit, how can we really come together for real, you know what I mean, as one country, as one race or whatever, you know what I mean? And so a lot of these people were disillusioned about intimacy, multiple layers of intimacy, multiple examples of intimacy, you get what I'm saying? And so by psyching themselves out, they weren't allowing themselves to succeed in intimacy and succeed generally, because that's what this energy called during this time. You know, just like right now, the energy is calling us to be more Piscean, and I'll get more into it later. The energy then was calling us to bring more intimacy into our lives so we can truly become one, not divided. You get what I'm saying? Not being so focused on self. You know? And for these people born around this time, what they need to do, honestly, is to, like, connect with God, the angels, and guides, and be like, how am I blocking myself from intimacy? How am I sabotaging myself so intimate situations don't come into my life? You know what I mean? What am I doing to fuck this whole thing up? What am I doing? How am I fucking this up? What am I doing? You know what I mean? And so, you know, when you ask your guides that, they'll kind of help you find ways to deinstitutionalize yourself and to gain this access of intimacy within your life. And a lot of it is you becoming more intimate in different ways. But the thing is, your guides and your angels is going to give you signs, give you and talk to you through your intuition to let you know how you can do that, how you can open yourself up for intimacy. You get what I'm saying? And so let's kind of talk about some historical examples of this, okay? One way we didn't bring intimacy into our lives is that the U.S. refused to provide military support for the Hungarian Revolution. You know, we're not coming together internationally. You know, we're just pushing away. But Eisenhower secured passages for the Interstate Highway Act that constructed 41,000 miles of interstate highway systems over a 20-year project. Now that's bringing the country together through roads. You know what I mean? And so that's a way to kind of bring intimacy, shared intimacy within the country. You know, very interested. Very, very, very interesting for sure. Civil Rights Act of 1957 gave was a primarily a voting rights bill, and so like it was kind of really just pushing us to be able to have more rights when it comes to voting, and it was the first civil rights legislation enacted by Congress since Reconstruction era, which the Reconstruction era was in the 1886 to 1880 something. And so again, that's like a very, very long time, like 70 years prior. So that's crazy. Yeah, crazy. During this time too, the Soviet Union launched Sputnik. And we decided that we had to go to the moon as well, you know what I mean, to try to go into space, more for fear, because we thought that, you know, there was gonna like kind of have like some space wars type of shit. And so we're like, okay, we do the same thing. And so that's how that happened. And so like NASA became a thing, was formed in like 1958 because of Sputnik, of course. Another thing that kind of showed that we need to come together and have a sense of shared worth is Little Rock, Arkansas schools, segregation happened, and that was like a big thing. But of course, that came in a really nasty way. Like, a lot of people, black people in Little Rock, Arkansas, went through it. You know what I mean? Definitely went through it. Another way of, you know, of us kind of come together and have a sense of shared togetherness too was like the Landrum-Griffin Act, which was a labor law that regulated labor unions and internal affairs and their official relationships with employers. You know, that became law. And so, you know, just people trying to like come together and work as a unit. You know what I mean? Of course, in the beginning, it was just nasty. But I feel like, you know, the Neptune and Scorpio folks were a little bit better than, just a tiny bit better in trying to get things together, but still pretty shitty when it came to having a sense of shared worth and togetherness and intimacy between the country. You know, I'm talking about like mostly US shit, you know what I mean? But yeah. So, anywho, there was the Greensboro sit-ins, sparked by like 4 black college students refusing to move from a segregated lunch counter, and that caused it like this huge recognition with the civil rights movement, even like more than it already was. One thing that went totally against the Scorpio vibes is U.S. breaks diplomatic relations with Cuba in 1961, and then that kind of started this whole thing between like Cuba and the U.S. and the Bay of Pigs and the trade embargo of Cuba and all that shit. You know what I mean? And then this whole like, I mean, this was already happening, but the whole like, you know, Cold War was like really heavy during the 60s. You know what I mean? It was like insane. And then 61, Vietnam War started, so that was annoying. Yeah, that was really a mess. So like, you know, we had all this opportunity to try to like come together and have a sense of shared worth internationally, and we just couldn't come together. We couldn't make it work at all. JFK died. He was assassinated. So that was a mess. Then there was like the Civil Rights Act finally happened in 1964, outlawing major forms of discrimination against black people and women. And it says that it ended racial segregation in the U.S., but it really didn't. We're still literally dealing with, like, since, like, a sense of segregation and racism now. So, like, good try, but, I mean, you get what I'm saying? Like, it's just a mess. You know, in 65, when, you know, President Johnson came into office after Kennedy died, he escalated the U.S. military involvement in the Vietnam War, which is, again, pushing us further and further apart for this sense of intimacy. Malcolm X was assassinated, made people piss the fuck off. MLK was assassinated, people got pissed the fuck off. 68, that was, Malcolm X was 65, and then MLK was 68. But there were certain things that was trying to like come through. Like there was the Immigration Act, so more people can come together and be in this country in a more like easier way. There was a Voting Rights Act, but then there were always situations that would separate us too. It's like as soon as we try to come together, something terrible happens, separate us. You get what I'm saying? So it was like a lot. The Detroit race riot again. And then, like, what that kind of started this whole race riot that erupted in 159 cities nationwide.
It got worse after MLK died. It was just sense of intimacy, sense of like bonding, emotional bonding, and understanding each other's situations. Like, I felt like people tried to do it, but you know, the government really wasn't helping in the situation whatsoever. There was also the East LA walkouts that was happening, or known as the Chicano blowouts. It was just really a mess, a big mess. And so, like, again, like, they did a little bit better here, but definitely disillusioned, definitely confused about what intimacy is and how to push it through and push it forward. And they really lost opportunity here. Again, if we connected more with God and with spirit, truly, I feel like we could have definitely taken advantage of this energy. And it makes me wonder what the hell happened here too. Was there a lot of Taurus energy that was blocking this situation, in which there was this effort to try to use our natural talents of connecting with others, of bonding with others, emotionally bonding and getting each other's situations and being there for each other? But it seemed like it was blocked with this kind of selfishness. I'm not calling Taurus energy selfish. Actually, there's nothing wrong with being selfish, actually, in my eyes, but just trying to, you know, be focused more on self and how I'm going to succeed rather than how we are going to succeed. I feel like it was a toss-up between that and a tug-of-war between that. And so this whole Neptune energy was just lost. And so I feel like this is like an example of how Neptune and Scorpio could fail. You get what I'm saying? Because no one cared about emotionally bonding. No one cared about trust. No one cared about, like, you know, really trusting people enough. And then after realizing that trust, really trying to come together and work as a unit. It couldn't happen because people were still being fucked over. We couldn't work as a collective in this sense. And working as a collective is really important with Neptune and with Uranus. You know what I mean? But Neptune's more of a spiritual collective, a unconscious collective, and not everyone's there. I can't even get the fuck out of 3D. You know what I mean? Like, it's just tough. It's really crazy. We can't even work as a collective consciously, let alone unconsciously. You get what I'm saying? And so it's really interesting. I feel like this is a great example of how you could fail, both Neptune and Libra and Neptune and Scorpio. I feel like Neptune and Virgo wasn't perfect, but definitely tried to bring some organization and some order into their situation. But goodness gracious, relating and intimacy with Neptune, that's what you call being totally disillusioned and not realizing what you can do to, like, really change the world. Mess. It's a big mess. So yeah, that was messy as Neptune and Scorpio. Just wasn't a success whatsoever, at least in my eyes. It was not a success. There's some couple of things, like towards the end, like Earth Day was observed. That was nice. And, you know, PBS kind of started, which was cool too. A lot of, like, people died during 1970. Like Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin. I didn't really do Janis Joplin, but I knew, like, you know, a lot of people died. Late 60s, early 70s that were a little questionable. Seems COINTELPRO-y, you know what I mean? Which is, again, showing that you can't really trust. And the fucked up thing about it was during this time, JFK, remember, if y'all go back and listen to my podcast, JFK warned us about this and was like, we need to expose and bring things to light and not hide
information that the U.S. people need to be looking at. And he got killed. I suggest y'all definitely listen to my JFK Death Chart podcast. It's one of my favorite ones and one of my best work, I really believe. Check it out. That's all I'm going to say. Check that out. Because he was trying to bring things to light and he got killed. So how the fuck is this generation supposed to succeed? You get what I'm saying? When it comes to Neptune and Scorpio vibes. And a lot of these people born under this time are Generation Xers, right? At least the beginning of Generation Xers. And the beginning, yes, between Generation Xers and the end of Baby Boomers, right? And their sense of intimacy is all types of fucked up. All types of fucked up. You know what I mean? These people are the people right now that are getting divorced like nuts. That marrying for other reasons other than like true love and shit. You know, like, it's funny. It's funny how things work, I swear. Definitely people being disillusioned by intimacy. I could definitely, like, this is where divorce rates go, like, really, really high around this time. Or the people that were born in this generation kind of started that whole trend. You get what I'm saying? And I think these people, I think they're Pluto Virgo folks, actually. Yeah, I think they're Pluto Virgo folks, not Pluto Libra. But still, hot ass mess. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Hot ass mess. Okay. So I'm not, if you were born during this time, I'm not saying you failed. I'm saying your parents failed you and your grandparents failed you and the government failed you. Okay. That's what I'm saying. God bless you though. That's crazy. And it may not be your parents directly. I'm talking in a general sense. Okay. Please understand that. Yeah. Interesting shit. So now let's look at Neptune and Sag, right? Between 1970 and 1984, and then a little bit in the first half of the second half of 84. Okay. And so see, we're getting closer to shit, you know what I mean? The generation before me, well, yeah, it kind of is, but there's some people who were born a year or two before me who's Neptune and Sag too. But anywho, let's talk about how these folks are disillusioned. These folks are disillusioned connected to their philosophies, beliefs, and religion. These folks are disillusioned about their, you know, them actually being able to go after their dreams and go after their passions and desires just for the fuck of it, just doing it. Just go ahead, just doing it. You know what I mean? They're disillusioned when it comes to that. They're naturally talented when it comes to picking up information, learning about things of higher learning, religion, beliefs, cultures, really being together, connecting with each other, you know, vibing with each other, working together as a unit. You get what I'm saying? But they're disillusioned about these things because of situations that happen around them. And so now they don't realize their full worth when it comes to this talent, when it comes to this natural gift that God has given them. Being able to follow their passions naturally, being able to follow what they want to do, their desires unapologetically, them being able to understand the world. You get what I'm saying? And so this generation did a decent job at this. Decent. But you're not allowing yourself to succeed, basically, is because you're psyching yourself out when it comes to you following the passions that you have, whether it's connected to culture, religion, just things that you want to do just because, you know what I mean? You being spontaneous, you learning things that are different from you, that's foreign from you. You accepting things that are foreign from you. That's how you're not allowing yourself to succeed. And so you got to ask your guides, your God, the angels, like, what am I doing to
stop myself to follow, you know, my desires, my dreams, my passions unapologetically? What am I doing to stop myself from following different beliefs, cultures, languages, and fully accepting them and realizing them and resonating with them and connecting with them and seeing how it resonates with me, and what can I take from it and what can I learn from it? What am I doing to stop that? You know what I mean? So let's take a look at what's going on here. This fucking Vietnam War is still happening, which is really, really bad, because we are not fully understanding and connecting with people who are different from us, people who want to do things differently. We're not allowing them to be communist just because we don't feel like it. We don't want them to, and we're fighting them because of that. It's so fucking stupid. And so we're not fully accepting people for being different. You know what I mean? Of course you need to protect yourself, but like, this communist country out here right now, we're fine. You know what I mean? Like, we're just not minding our business, and we're kind of like pushing an agenda of not letting people just handle their own shit and do their own thing. You get what I'm saying? And so there's that, right? Where's us feeling? But again, it's the beginning of this generation. So, yeah, that's that. I mean, there was an anti-ballistics missiles treaty, which was between the U.S. and the Soviet Union on limitation of anti-ballistic missile systems used in defending areas against ballistic missiles delivered nuclear weapons. So, I mean, that's us trying to come together, I guess, and be normal. I don't know. I actually want to say, though, that with Neptune and Scorpio, speaking of things coming into light, this is when the civil rights movement was really, really doing things on purpose so it can be televised and so other countries can see how shitty they treat black people and other people of color. And so that's what you call fucking bringing shit to light. We knew what we were doing with that one. So dope. Anyways, let's go back to Neptune and Sag. There was a Arab oil embargo, and during like between 73 and 74, you know, the gasoline prices skyrocketed, and supplies of gasoline and heating oil were in short supply. So that was something crazy. And us, again, we were having this embargo you know, the members. It's basically when the members of the Organization of Arab Petroleum Exporting Countries proclaim an oil embargo. It was targeted at nations perceived as supporting Israel during the Yom Kippur War. And so, you know, the main people that were targeted was like the US, Canada, Japan and shit. And so, because we were in support of Israel, we kind of dealt with the wrath of the people that were in that group. You know what I mean? And so, again, this is us not trying to come together as you know, this is not just the U.S., but just us together as like a human race. Us not coming together and trying to like work things out and resonate with each other and get each other. You get what I'm saying? And so, yeah, mess. At this time, you know, Bill Gates founded Microsoft, and Steve Jobs, Will Wozniak, and Ronald Wayne founded Apple. And so, you know, people are trying to think a little outside the box so we can connect, and, you know, finally, when it comes to like computers and the internet and shit like that. So that's, you know, a good way of us trying to connect and bring things together. You know, Roots is aired in 1977, gaining record audiences, and so people can see the things in the perspective of, you know, Black Americans and what they had to go through and stuff. So again, we're like making ourselves a little bit more knowledgeable. We're getting more into like the internet and home video game systems and technology. We're really just trying to, not the internet exactly, excuse me, computers and technology, sorry. And so again, expanding our mind, trying to think a little bit more outside the box. But a lot of times we're like limiting ourselves when it comes to, you know, country relations, race relations, us like, you know, like a big thing actually is like the, you know, how COINTELPRO was really trying to fuck with and dismantle, you know, Black Panther. You know, I would suggest you to also look at my Huey Newton death chart reading that I have on there, in which I talk deeply more about that, you know. So it's kind of like, yeah, we're all for like higher learning and stuff like that, but when it comes to like accepting things that are totally foreign from us, when it comes to like race and culture, no. And this is actually how, you know, we became not so successful when it comes to like this situation, you know what I mean? The U.S. boycotts the Summer Olympics in Moscow to protest the 1979 Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Also allows grain embargo against Soviet Union with the support of European Commission. So again, like, we're taking a stance, but we're separating ourselves and we're not trying to work together. Again, there's a Refugee Act which reformed U.S. immigration laws and admitted refugees on a systematic basis for humanitarian reasons. Again, nice, but while the people were here, they suffered. You know what I mean? And then it's like, it's a systematic basis too. So, you know, there was a lot of like bullshit when it came to like certain people coming into the country and not, you know what I mean? And even towards the later years, like MTV signs on becoming the first 24-hour cable network dedicated to airing music, which is nice. But they like invaded hell for Black people in their music videos to be put on there. You know, like it's two steps forward, or one step forward, two steps back. You know what I mean? And so we can never really go anywhere in that type of way. You know, 241 U.S. Marines killed by a suicide bomb in Lebanon. Like, our race relations and our like nation relations were shit. It was just really bad. And yeah, it was bad. It was bad. And then like crack came along, and they really was first introduced in the LA area, of course, in Black and Latino areas. So it's just, yeah, it's like, it's funny because with crack or Ready Rock, whatever people want to call it, it kind of, you think it's like, oh yeah, that's very kind of like sad, because you know, you just want to try something, try it once, you gotta, you know, YOLO type of vibes. But you know, if you're kind of just introducing it specifically to a group of people who are different from you, you don't really want to succeed. That's kind of fucked up, you get what I'm saying? And so this whole vibe, it's like, I feel like two steps, like one step forward, two steps back with this, with the whole Sag energy of like, yes, let's get more to technology, yes, let's try to improve you know, how we think about certain things on the like science side, but again, relations of race and different cultures, which is definitely connected with Sagittarius, kind of we failed at that, you know what I mean? We failed horribly with that. But when it came to like just learning about stuff a little bit more and opening our minds to things that are unfamiliar to us, that was good. But not when it came to relating to people who were different from us, you get what I'm saying? Really interesting. And so that's a part of our self undoing. Again, you notice how we get more into recent history the more shittier things get and the less successful we are when it comes to Neptune. You know what I mean? Could be why the country kind of sucks now. could be. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop here and I'm going to, because I did what? I did Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag. And so I'm going to stop here and then I'm going to do a part two with Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries. And then I'm going to do a part three of Neptune in the houses. And then I'm thinking, that I want to do it back to back, honestly, since you guys already had a taste. But I do want to do that Pluto connection with HIV. So we'll see what I can, I'll see what I can swing. And honestly, even if I don't do it in December, like, this information that I'm going to be, like, talking on is going to be important regardless. So we'll see how I swing it, okay? But I'm going to stop it here. Catch me next week. Maybe. Not maybe that I'm not going to come. I'm definitely going to do an episode next week, but I mean, you might see me early. You might get two podcast episodes. Who knows? You know, it's Christmas. Who knows? We'll see. Because I've been getting a lot of orders. Shout out to my clients. Y'all are awesome. And I've been churning them out, baby. Just know, also, guys, I got a 20% off deal right now on my Etsy shop. If you're interested in an astrological reading, it's etsy.com/shop/astrodem. Okay. If you're interested in a reading, holla at me and I'll give you a bomb reading. And I'm like, I have 5 stars. Like, all my clients have been giving me 5 stars. It's beautiful. I am so grateful. I'm so, so grateful for that. So shout out to y'all. And I put my all into these readings. I don't want to psych y'all out. I like literally just give my all. So, you know, check a real one out. Shoot. Check a real one out. Get this order. You know, buy a reading for a friend. And, you know, it's the holidays. You know, you can do that too. Buy one for yourself. You know, see how it goes. You know, we can figure something out, okay? All right, but I'm gonna hit y'all back with the part two and part three of this Neptune series, okay?
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.